I'm going to speak about something this morning that will encourage you to make the sacrifice. Because I started a message back several weeks ago on the Bema Judgment, where all of us who are saints of God, all of us who are children of the Lord, we're going to be judged one of these days. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And everyone are going to receive a reward for what we have done here in this life. And there is no reward for good intentions. Amen. Everyone has a lot of good intentions. They intend to do things, but God can't reward what we intend to do. He's going to reward what we actually do for Him, for His glory. And it's not the big things that are going to receive the great rewards. I believe oftentimes it'll be the insignificant things in the eyes of people. Because I remember Jesus at one time, He went into the temple to observe how people were giving. And in the temple, there was a place in the roof of the building that usually... There was a hole in the top of the building that allowed the sunlight to shine right on the container that received offerings. It was like God is looking through the hole and He's watching to see what people give, but not so much about what they give, but how they give. Amen. And so, among those who came that day to give were those self-righteous scribes and Pharisees. And they took out their billfold where everybody could see it. They got their checkbook out and the brightest colored pencil where everyone could see it, like me and Jim did a while ago. And so they wrote a big check, but you see... He said, because there's a little widow come along, she just had 2 pennies. That's all she had. Just 2 cents. That's all she had. And she gave it. And there's going to be some people that are going to give a lot more than some of us who seem to give a lot. Because she gave of her very living. That's all she had to give. She gave that. By the way, she did give it, though. She didn't just say, "Well, I don't have it. I just don't have anything but what I really need. I can't give because I need this." No. In spite of the fact that it was her very living, she gave it, and I believe she gave it joyfully. And Jesus said in this object lesson to the people, "Look. You think you gave a lot, you scribes and Pharisees, you self-righteous. You think you did a lot, but I'm telling you, this little woman gave more than you did." Because giving is not, you see, it's not going to be rewarded on the basis of what a person gave. It may be rewarded on the basis of what they had left after they gave. I'm going to preach to you now for a while on this side. I've been over on this side. So, Donald Lynn, I'm going to come over here a little while now. Did you understand that? It's not how much you gave, it's how much we have left. It's the spirit with which we gave. It's the joy that we manifest in doing something that we believe is going to be for God. And it doesn't say nor even imply that it's wrong for anyone to give and other people to know it. The problem, or what he's looking at there, is the person who gives for that reason. See, I don't believe Jim gave for that reason, that he wanted people to see what he was doing. I don't believe that wasn't in my heart. I wasn't even thinking about that. I want to get the work done. Hallelujah. I want to get it done. And it doesn't matter. And I'm not interested in whether or not I get any praise or anybody gets any praise. I just want the work to get done. Yes. I want the tile to be bought, or whatever it is we're trying to accomplish at that time. I got some big visions. I showed some of you in the paper today. I got some big things in my mind, in my spirit, that I believe God wants to do in and through this body, and it's going to take all of us, every one of us. And I can promise you there is a reward connected. But I'm not telling you that you're going to receive that reward in this life. Amen. See, that's been the message that has been taught for the last 25 years, is that when you do something, you can expect to receive a reward right now. And a lot of people did something and they're in worse shape now than they were in. I've coached some of those people. We don't say counsel anymore. But I've coached some of those people that gave expecting to have a great return, and they didn't get a great return. And they were saying, "Pastor, I gave my rent money this month. I gave my rent money, and I can't pay my rent. Can the church help me pay my rent?" Because somebody implied that if you give your rent money, God will give you the rent money and money to buy a car on top of it. That's not what the Scripture teaches. It, however, does teach very clearly that there will be rewards, but most of those rewards, other than the reward that comes with knowing you did something that was good and right, and there's a reward in that feeling, there's a good feeling when you know you did something that was just unselfish and it was just right. That's the reward for now. But there's a reward after this. Amen. There's a reward after this. You may not see it in this world, in this life. You may not experience that great blessing that someone may have implied that you were going to receive if you just send most or a lot of your money to Mr. Wonderful, who's on the television. And there's a lot of Mr. Wonderfuls on television. I'm not criticizing that. There's some, and it's all right if God tells you to do that. It's all right to do that. But I believe our first responsibility is to our own house. Amen. Spiritually speaking, to our own house. That's where we're going to be rewarded, not because of how much we did, but because of the spirit in which we did it. And if there is a reward or a blessing for having done something today that maybe nobody knew I was doing, God knows about it, and He's keeping an accurate record and is not unrighteous to forget our works and labors of love which we have shown unto His name. Hallelujah. I'm glad God doesn't forget. And even though it may seem that way, when I've given, and when I have done my best to for the Lord, and it seems like things didn't get better for me here, I'm looking beyond this. Are you? Yes, and I think that's where our focus ought to be. Matthew 5 says, "Blessed are you," verse 11, "blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven." Amen. Somebody said, "Well, I want it here. I want it right now. Couldn't I have it right now? Couldn't I have my reward right now?" Well, if you get it now, you don't get it then. And now is in time, and that's eternal. Amen. This is all temporal. Even the reward is just going to be temporal. It's going to pass away after a little while. But that reward is eternal. It's going to last forever. And he says, blessed is that person who suffers persecution and is falsely accused, and when they say all kinds of evil against you. Hallelujah. I've had some of those kind of blessings this last year. Amen. I've received a few of those kind of blessings. But he says, listen, if you don't fight back, if you don't get angry and you don't try to kill somebody in your with your tongue, if you don't fight back, he says, great is your reward in heaven. That's what I'm looking for. Are you? But if you fight back, and if your tongue gets just as sharp as the one who punched you, who hit you, then you had your reward. You got back to that person. You got your reward. But if you take it for him, for his sake, then there's a reward waiting in heaven. Look at Matthew 6, verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men. We talked about that a little bit already. That is to be seen by them. So don't do your acts of righteousness or benevolence. Don't do it to be seen. If they see, it's all right, but that's not why we do it. That's not why we do it. He said, rejoice and be glad because. No, I'm on the wrong verse here. He says, you will have no reward if you're just doing this before men. But the implication is if you do it right, that acts of benevolence that are done as unto the Lord and not men will be rewarded. Verse 6 says, and when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He says here, secret prayer is going to be rewarded. What are you going to be rewarded for? Well, taking criticism and not fighting back. What are you going to be rewarded for? Praying in secret. Praying when nobody but God knows you're praying. Amen. Does that say, well, then we should never meet together and pray publicly with one another? No, there's a place for corporate prayer as well, where we come together and pray corporately about matters, but that is not to take the place of secret prayer. Secret prayer, God sees, and that is the prayer that he says is going to be rewarded, that God is taking special interest in that person who is doing something secretly and doing it as unto the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, verse 17 says, and when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it's not going to be obvious to men that you're fasting, but only to your Father. This is verse 17 of chapter 6. Your Father, it's going to be only seen by your Father who is unseen, and your Father will see what you do in secret, and he'll reward you, the scripture says. He'll reward you for that. Secret prayer is going to be rewarded, and secret fasting is going to be rewarded as an act, particularly when I'm fasting, as an act of appreciation to God for what he has already done. Some of my fasts have been about that. I've just fasted to say, Lord, I'm grateful. I'm thankful to you for what you have accomplished, and just secretly do some fasting, just sacrificing the flesh. Matthew chapter 10 says, he who receives you receives me, and this is verse 40, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me, and anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking here. I tell you the truth. He will certainly not lose his reward. There's a reward, saints of God. There are rewards for those who do right because it is the right thing to do. And it's not, as I've already tried to emphasize, it's not just the things that are the big things. It's those little things that are done for the glory of God. Amen. And the record is being kept. And one day, not because we've been a world-known evangelist or because we've been a great and successful businessman who has received the accolades that men can give, not because of that, but to anyone, whomever that person may be, anyone that is doing what they can do for the Lord and for the glory of God. Amen. Oh yes, I think even buying a few tiles will go on the record. Amen. It gets on the record. It's a part of it. And some are going to stand before God one day and he's going to say, oh, well, here, you're being rewarded. Well, what for, Lord? Well, here's one of the things. Well, you got in your closet and you prayed secretly. Sometimes you fasted just because you loved me and wanted to show your appreciation. You just fed that hungry person. You just brought in your cans. Amen. But Lord, I didn't know you were watching all these kind of things. I thought you were just looking at the big stuff. No. He says, no, son, I was looking at all those little things. I was looking at all those little things you were doing, and you were just doing it for my glory. You were just doing it for my... You just opened your home up for a fusion meeting. Well, I didn't think that counted. Oh, it does. It does count. That counts too. Well, why am I being rewarded, Lord? Well, you taught. You led a fusion group. Well, that wasn't anything. Oh, yes, it was. That was important because you don't know that person that was at their wit's end and didn't think they could go a step further, and they came to that fusion meeting and they received something that gave them the strength to go on. You didn't know all that part of it. I knew it, God says. God said, I knew that part of it. Amen. There's a reward. Turn to somebody and say, you're going to get a reward. Amen. You, Kathy, you're going to get a reward for just putting up with Blade. I tell you, it's a joy to be around people that are so happy in the Lord. Amen. But there's rewards for not big things, but little things that we do with joy in our heart. We do it because, listen, I know sometimes we think, well, nobody cares. But I'm going to tell you, Patrick, God sees you. He sees you. We were up there beating those drums. And maybe people don't, maybe they it just blends in and you don't hear, but it made everything better. And God says, when you stand up there, he's going to say, oh, enter into the joy of the Lord. Well, what did I do, Lord? I didn't know I did anything. I'm getting a reward for something? Yes. What am I getting a reward for? Well, you was up there you were there. Don't you remember you were down there? But I like to do that, Lord. Oh, it's wonderful to get a reward for something you like to do. I hope preaching gets a reward because I sure like to do it. Amen. I like to do it. I hope there's a reward for it. Amen. Yeah, Ricky, there's going to be a reward when you could have ticketed that guy and you didn't do it. I remember the story of the preacher that got stopped by a patrolman who pulled him over for driving too fast, and the preacher said to the patrolman, he said, I'm just out here doing the work of the Lord. And the patrolman said, so am I. That's what I'm doing. The Bible says go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And that's what I'm doing. So if you compel them, it's all right if you're upholding the law. Amen. But what I'm trying to help you to realize, there is a place, there's a time when you're going to stand in the presence of God. And there's some great rewards that are going to be given. Jesus on one occasion said, there are many who are first that are going to be last. And many who are last that are going to be first. The judgment is going to reveal some things that we can't see. But I often think of people that I've known who served God faithfully in more or less a secret place. And I've always felt when the rewards are given out that some of those people that I've known, though I've had more of a public ministry and been up in front a lot, I'm absolutely certain that there's going to be some among this congregation of believers that will be called up ahead of me and maybe Brother Parkey and Brother Steve. Amen. Maybe. Yeah, because they didn't know anybody. We didn't know what they were doing, but God did. God knew it. He's keeping a record. Now, the bad thing would be is to stand there one day as a child of God and not have any works. Well, who would that possibly be? Who would that be that could stand in the presence of God and have nothing there? Who is that person? Well, that's the person that always had good intentions but never got anything done until the last breath they breathed. They cried out, Lord, have mercy, and he did, and they are saved. But they had nothing in the way of works. Nothing. They had nothing. They stand in the presence of God. Oh, yes, they receive eternal life. There's no question about that. They receive eternal life, but they have nothing to offer. They have nothing for which they could be rewarded other than the reward that comes with believing that Jesus Christ is Savior. I don't want that to happen to anyone here. There's going to be people that are not going to receive a reward in that day because they missed some of the most important things. They didn't. It's just simply because they never really took a stand. They never just really stepped out and said, put my name on the line. I'm right this day. I'm making a declaration. I'm coming out for Jesus today. Amen. There's some people here this morning. You just need to come on out for Jesus. Amen. Amen. And just take a firm stand. There's some people that are not connected to this church. Not really. Some of you have attended here for a long time, but you're not connected. You've never really put your name on the dotted line. You've never really said, this is my church. This is where I belong. I know this is where I want to get connected. I want to connect to this body. Is that important? I think it is. I think it is. And if I had the time this morning, I believe I can show you in the scripture where it's really important. But the question is, for you today, is how do you want to stand in the presence of God? If you're not saved, of course, any good thing you've ever done, it doesn't matter what it is. Any good thing that you've ever done, if you're not saved, it doesn't count. There'll be no reward if you don't know Jesus. If you do come to the Lord and you do begin to serve him, it may be that some of those good things you did even when before you came to know him, that may be marked up to your account. I don't know that for sure. But it might be. But the first step is you've got to say, I'm coming out for Jesus. I'm stepping out. There's 900,000 people in Tarrant County that have never stepped out for Jesus. Never have. Do you want to be in that crowd? Or do you want to take a stand? Are you ready to step out and say, well, I'm going to step out of that crowd and I'm going to get connected with the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm going to be public about it? Amen. This is not a, listen, when you make your step, when you step out for Jesus, that can't be private. That's got to be public. That's got to be out. You've got to step out in front of everybody and say, I'm taking my stand for Jesus.